Well, this morning, when we get round to it, I just want to talk about one of the most interesting periods of biblical history, and that's the end of the reign of the judges and the beginning of the period of kings, when the kings began to rise in Israel. And we read about King Saul, of course, and then David, and then on to Solomon and all the others. And one of the most famous stories that comes out of that era is the story of David and Goliath. And I don't think there would be many people, even on, certainly in the English-speaking world, there wouldn't be many people who don't know about David and Goliath and his story. And if this was simply an account of one man's victory against an imposing foe, it would still be a great story, but it's much more than that. It can also provide us with some really important keys of life for every one of us. So we're just going to read in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 1 to 4, and then read verse 32 as well. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socar in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damin between Socar and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistines' camp. He was over 3 meters tall, right? Nearly as tall as Larry. He was over 3 meters tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. Verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we thank you that it has come down to us from hundreds of years, but Lord, in that time, it has not lost its power. It's not lost its impact on our life. And Lord, as we enter into this story of David and Goliath and his great victory, we pray that we will be able to glean keys for our lives that will help us and encourage us, strengthen us and inspire us for what we face in 2020. And so we pray your blessing upon this word. Let your anointing be upon it. Make us tuned in and alert, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's quite a picture that we are given there of the story of David and Goliath. We've got two armies facing off against one another. One on one hill and one another on the other hill, and this valley of battle between them. And this pagan champion, Goliath, this huge man, comes out to face them. I remember when I was a teacher at school, a basketballer called Dean Utoff, he used to play for Australia, he came and visited our school. And I remember him today, he's a huge man. You know, some people are tall, but they're lanky and thin, and they're like a beanpole. Dean, like, filled the doorway. He came in, and it was proportionally just this huge man. And like, he wasn't as big as Goliath. I thought, what a daunting thing that would have been that David faced. But this guy, he's big, he's scary, he's dangerous, and nobody wants to go up against him. Surprise, surprise. Until this little shepherd boy, just a shepherd boy, puts his hand up and says, "Hey, I'll go up. I'll go up." And we all know the story. David enters into the battle. He is victorious. And God is glorified. But we know that David wasn't the only one to encounter giants in his life. We all have our own share from time to time and in different ways. Our giants aren't going to be some 9-foot-plus warrior, but they can be just as threatening, just as fearful, and just as deadly sometimes as this Goliath was to these 1,000 BC Israelite soldiers. And the giants we face, they can be external, like Goliath, or they can be internal. There are external giants that come against us, like unemployment, or debt, or abuse, or rejection, rebellious children maybe, sickness, failing marriage, these things that come against us. COVID is an example of an external giant that we face today. We face it as a nation, we face it as a community. That's one of those giants that's against us at the moment, against the whole world. And there are internal giants, things like depression and addictions, repeated failures that we've had, discouragement, anger, the list goes on and on. All these things that affect us on the inside, they're internal giants, and they're no less disabling than something that comes from the outside. Your giant today may even be a failing faith in God. Maybe unbelief has entered into your life in some way. That's also a giant. You know, David's giant shouted at the Israelites in an attempt to induce fear. He stood there and he boldly proclaimed, "I'm going to make mincemeat out of you guys." He shouted at them. And today's giants will also shout at us. They'll shout at our inner man, and they'll try and convince us that we cannot overcome, and we should simply just be fearful and give up. And today, really, what I want to do is encourage us all, every one of us here, not to listen to the voice of your giant anymore. Not to listen to the voice of your giant anymore. But instead, to take these keys from David's victory and apply it to our giant just the same. And I'm not saying that in a simplistic way, that all your problems are going to disappear once you walk out that door. But I'm saying that we can make a start. We can make a start on seeing our giant defeated. So what can we do? The first thing I think we need to do is to tap into the divine source of victory that is common to all of us, and that is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Tap into that divine source. David knew that this was the source of his enabling. David said in 1 Samuel 17, verse 37, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Notice that David freely acknowledged that the basis for his past victory was the Lord. The Lord who delivered me. David recognized that his power source was not of himself, it was the Lord. It was God. It was the Holy Spirit. And, you know, you and I have got all these appliances in our house, sound systems and toasters and all kinds of things, computers. But if they're not plugged into the power source, they're only paperweights, right? Unless they're plugged in, they're just a paperweight, they're just junk taking up space. They've got to be plugged into the power source. And our life is ultimately powerless, particularly in the spiritual sense, if we don't connect with the source of power, if we don't connect with the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? And right through history and right up to the present day, God's people have always been empowered by God through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that's going to be our starting point for victory in life. That's the starting point for every one of us. There's no exceptions. You know, Saul, even when he originally became king, when he was first made king, his empowerment was by the Spirit of God. David's empowerment when he came to take the kingdom was by the Spirit of God. The empowerment of every Christian to live this Christian life is by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." We're going to receive power. And we sometimes think, oh, well, that power was just to go and share Jesus. No, it was much more than that. It was the power to live so they could share Jesus. We need the anointing upon all of our lives. So, well, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not an apostle. I'm not someone who witnesses freely. No, it's for all of us. to live this life. Who agrees this life can be a tough life to live? It can be a hard life. But with the power of God, Lord, He enables us. He gives us what we need. Paul's testimony, when Paul went out on his ministry, he testified as to where he got his power from. He said in 1 Corinthians 2 and chapter 4 and verse 5, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." See, Paul was in a culture where the Greeks made a great thing of oratory. They'd get up and they'd give great speeches and everyone would go, "Oh, that's a great speech." But Paul said, "I am not just getting up to give you a great speech. I'm getting up with the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm speaking in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." You know, the wisdom of man only goes so far. We need the Spirit of God. We've got nothing against the wisdom of man. We've got nothing against that, but we need that coupled with the Spirit of God. And Paul knew that. You know, we can push back against life's battles in our own strength. People do it all the time. People go to AA, people go to self-help groups, and they push back against the giants in their life. And they get a measure of victory often. We can achieve something of the victory by following those good programs, but the only way to have lasting victory over our giants is to have a connection with the Holy Spirit through receiving Jesus and living in Him. That's how we get lasting victory. We can go so far, but to go all the way, we really need God. I believe that with all my heart. So what are the weapons that God's given us? Every soldier in every army has been given weapons that he can use to facilitate victory. And as we encounter spiritual battles and their outworkings, we also have some very powerful weapons at our disposal. And the weapons that God has given us to overcome our giants are in a very large degree connected with our mindset. You know, the battle is so often in our life, the battle is so often lost in our mind. In our mind. That's where so often the battle is lost, in our mind. In our thinking. In our perception. In the way we are looking at things. What does God tell us? He tells us to renew our mind. Why does He tell us to renew our mind? Because it's the battleground of the soul. The battleground of the soul. So what can we do? What are these weapons? What did David do? First thing we need to do is to remember your past blessings. As David said in verse 37 there, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." David could look back and say, when the bear came against my flock, when the lion came against my flock, I remember how God helped me. See, David didn't just come to this Goliath situation as it was his first rodeo, you know? Wet behind the ears. Ooh, I've never had a foe before. I wonder how this is going to work out. He'd already experienced the battle with God enabling him to be victorious. He'd already experienced it. And the enemy will often seek to discourage us from the outset. But we can find plenty of reasons to be encouraged in God. What has God already done for you in your life? What has He already done? Just hearken back even to your salvation experience and how God turned you from darkness to light. He's already done the most amazing thing that could ever happen. The greatest thing that could ever happen. He's already done that. And then I'm sure He's multiplied blessing upon blessing upon that. Who can say amen? And we need to look back on those things and say, "God, I recognize what You have already done. How He's already blessed our life journey." Let's not forget those things. Sometimes it's good to write them down. Just even journal the blessings of God in our life so we don't forget. Because one of the things that's very easy in our humanity is to forget. Particularly when the enemy is coming against us to discourage us. Of course, we see the power of prayer. The power of prayer. We all know the importance of that. Later on in David's life, there was a raid on his people at Ziklag. You may remember that. And in 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6, it says, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one of those men was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. Their sons and daughters had been taken hostage, maybe killed, they didn't even know. But it says that David found strength in the Lord his God. So while David is there in his camp, and all the men are going, "Oh, David, you've ruined things for all of us. We're so unhappy with what you've done. Why don't we kill him?" What did David do? He didn't make a case for himself. It says he went to the Lord and found strength in God. He turned to prayer in the moment of great difficulty. Psalm 59 and verse 16, David wrote this, "But I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble." Whatever David's failings, and he had a few, whatever his failings were, David was a man of prayer. He knew how to go back to God, even in the midst of his failings. He'd go back to God continually, good day or bad day, his fault or someone else's fault. He would continually come before God. What a great lesson for us to gather. You know, that we're just not fair weather prayers. "Oh, I can't pray. I'm too upset." Well, people were trying to kill David. I have had that experience once. But most of us have never had the experience when people are trying to kill us. But David went to prayer in that time. He just continually do that. And I make the note there, and I think it's on the overhead, that prayer is not the promise of immediate solutions to your issues. Man, I wish it was. I wish every time I had a hard time and I prayed about it, God would miraculously take it away. That'd be fantastic. But it's not the promise of immediate solutions. Prayer is keeping connection with the God who loves you and keeps you in every high and every low place. That's what prayer is. It's saying, "I'm going to stay connected to you, God. I'm going to stay connected with you, God." I love the testimony of a brother, pastor friend of ours who's the pastor of our son's church in America. And his daughter got cancer. And it looked like she was going to die at that point. And he said, and he was speaking to us the next Sunday after that experience. So it was pretty raw. And he said, my wife and I sat down, we were in that hospital room crying, and he said, "God, please save our daughter. Please heal our daughter." And he said, then we said this, "But God, as much as we want our daughter back, whether she lives or dies, this changes nothing between us and you." What a prayer. What a statement to make to God. Even if we lose our daughter, the person we love the most, it doesn't change how we relate to you. Sometimes we want to walk away from God because we lost a job, or because we had some relatively minor setback. We need to keep our connection with God no matter what. Don't run from God. He's always drawing you. Don't run from Him. He wants you to be with you in the high places, but also in the lowest place. And He is our greatest resource. Another thing David did, he saw an opportunity to glorify God. He saw an opportunity in his desperate situation, he saw an opportunity to glorify God. And I think this is one of the most challenging things. For all of us. For me. For all of us. In verse 46 and 47 he says, "This day," David speaking, "will the Lord deliver Goliath into my hand, that all the earth may know," this is the why, "that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with the sword and the spear, not with natural means, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." This is all about shifting the focus from our well-being, from our good state, to God's glory. To God's glory. And that's a challenging perspective. I'm the first to say that is a challenging perspective to take in our circumstances. To say, "Hey, God, I acknowledge that this is not primarily about me and my comfort or my safety. This is always in the end about your glory. It's a tough thing to say, isn't it? But I think it's a perspective we've got to lay hold on. Now, no sensible person is going to go looking for problems. I think I'll go and look for some problems so God can be glorified in my problems. That would be pretty silly, you know. There's something, you know, you can be persecuted for righteousness' sake and you can be persecuted for foolishness' sake. You know, they're not the same thing. So we don't go looking for trials or troubles, but when we find them, when they come to us, we can choose the poor me or why me posture, or we can see God in the picture and have a faith expectation that God really does work together for good for those who love God. You know, that's not a scripture meant to go on the fridge just for happy days. It's meant to be applied to the whole of our life. And sometimes it's hard to see where that is, but I still believe it's true. And I'm not speaking as someone who seeks to be stoic in the face of pain or trouble. That's not me. I've lost 3 brothers. I've lost my father. I've lost Josie's mother. And we've had financial losses. We've witnessed on a daily basis in Haiti the most appalling poverty and deprivation. We are not a stranger to pain. I get pain. And I don't want to diminish anyone sitting here or anyone listening out there. I don't want to diminish your pain, and I hope you're not hearing me say that. I'm not diminishing your pain. But I do believe that it's not what pain and trouble does to us that is most important. It's what it does in us. You know, all kinds of things can come against us. You look at history. You look at what has come against God's people in history. And that's not the bottom line. The bottom line is what happens in the heart and soul of a person who is going through trouble. That's what matters most to God. I'm not saying he doesn't care about the physical circumstance. Of course he does. But it's what happens in us. So I ask the question, do you see your life, your whole life, as an opportunity to enhance God's reputation? The good day and the bad day. That is an opportunity for you to enhance God's reputation. David saw Goliath not just as a big scary foe, but as an opportunity for God's power to be revealed. When he saw that, he had a revelation, whoa, God's going to look good when this guy's defeated. God is going to look good when this guy has been defeated. Our sickness is an opportunity for God to show his healing. Our victory over sin is an opportunity for God to showcase his grace in our lives. Your struggling marriage can be a place for God to reveal the beauty of forgiveness and reconciliation. And even if we're feeling unbelief and struggling with our faith right now, that can break into an amazing testimony of faith's victory in your personal life. God wants to be glorified in our lives. Next thing I'd say is don't be distracted by the detractors. You know, detractors can come from our own family. In David's example, David came down to overcome Goliath, and his brother, Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speak with the men. He burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here, and with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? He wants to diminish David. You're just a shepherd of a couple of little sheep. You little pipsqueak. I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. That's pretty heavy. You came down only to watch the battle. And Dave must be going, what? His own family. Detractors can also come from those in authority over us. Saul said, you're not able to go up against this Philistine and fight against him. You're only a boy. and he's been a fighting man from his youth. Not everyone is going to be supportive of your efforts to overcome your giants. That's strange. Why wouldn't everyone just want to get behind me? And that can be hurtful and discouraging sometimes. But not everyone says, yeah, you go for it. Overcome. Why don't they do that? Because sometimes your desire to overcome can come across as judgment on those who can't be bothered. Those who can't be bothered making the effort that you want to make, they go, oh, no, don't do that. They're still trapped in there and they don't want you to succeed. Pressing into God can, to some, seem as like you're going over the top. Oh, you know, this Christianity thing's okay. You know, Karen, it's okay, you're a Christian, that's okay, but you're getting a bit super spiritual there. You're getting a bit over the top. Just settle in there. And don't let the detractors be the deciders in your life. Don't let the detractors be the deciders. The enemy definitely wants to keep you distracted. And it can come from many quarters. Something I've noticed after 35 years of pastoral ministry is that the enemy does not give up easily. If he's got you trapped, he's not going to give you up quickly. And if you decide today that you've had enough of being dominated by some giant, if you make a real commitment that you're going to see victory, then I can just about promise you, in the next few days, you're going to encounter some distraction to divert you from your good course and take you back where you were. Has anybody say amen to that? Has anyone experienced that before? That's right, that's what happens. The enemy is wicked and evil, but he's not a fool. He's not an enemy without strategy. He's not an enemy who doesn't know what he can call upon to get you right back to the status quo. Your good intention will be challenged by someone or something that says, forget it, give up. You're going to listen to that. But I think just knowing that can be a forewarning, can be forearmed, just to know that. Say, hey, I see what's happening here. This is exactly what Pastor John said was going to happen. Here it is. And that's not believing for something bad. That's being ready and aware of the enemy's wiles. The Bible says to be aware of his wiles, doesn't it? To be aware of them, you've got to think of it. You've got to have it up there to know what's going to happen. Next thing we need to do is be serious about seeing the victory. Be serious about seeing the victory. In verse 32 and verse 48, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Passivity never accomplishes anything in life. Passivity never accomplishes anything in life. If Larry just turns up at his rugby match on a Saturday, he just says, oh, I don't need to train, I'll just turn up and everything's going to be okay. Larry won't know where everybody's running. He won't be fit enough to tackle. He's going to be a mess. You know, not as much of a mess I would be, but still a mess after 20 minutes because he hasn't prepared. He hasn't got himself ready. He's been passive. But that's not Larry. Larry does train and he will be ready and he's going to accomplish something there. Your enemies are not going to run away on their own account. You'll need to be determined to see them defeated. David ran towards the giant with intention and we're going to need to do the same. Sometimes the key to your victory is just being that bit more aggressive. Doesn't have to be over the top, but just a bit more aggressive. Just stepping up a notch to see things change. And remember, as we said before, it's not just your endeavor, it is God's Spirit working alongside with you in your endeavor. But God's not going to do it all for you. We need to partner with him. Then we need to stick at it. David picked up 5 stones, but he only needed one. He only used one. Why did he pick up 5? Maybe because in the Spirit he knew that Goliath had 4 equal-sized brothers who were going to be a problem to Israel down the track, and they were also all going to need to be dealt with, and they were. So prophetically, he picked up 5 stones. and they all got their comeuppance in God's time. But David knew the job wasn't over with one victory. Did the Philistines stop being a problem to Israel? No. David had, you know, David looked forward to the words of Winston Churchill, never, ever give up. One prayer may not be enough to get the job done. You know, we come out for prayer, we get prayed, that may not be enough. One apology may not be enough to work reconciliation in your situation. One job application is probably not going to be enough to see unemployment go from your life. You may get knocked down a time, or two, or three, or four, but don't quit. Keep picking up those rocks. Keep swinging that sling until you see lasting victory. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. That's really the only thing that can defeat you, is the decision to give up. Then we need to take that opportunity for victory. As the Philistines moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching to his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. If we're going to have victory, then at some point we have to take action. There will be a to-do list. There will be a to-do list to see your victory come, to see that breakthrough. So what is at the top of your to-do list? What is at the top? You know you've got an issue, you know you've got a problem. What's on the top of your to-do list to see that change, to see a new reality? What's on the top of your to-do list? What do you need to do today to see a different tomorrow? What do you need to do today to see a different tomorrow? Do you need to come and receive prayer? That's a great start. Do you need to book a counselling appointment with someone? Do you need to take some kind of a financial money management course? Is that the beginning of your problem, of the solution to your problems with debt? Do you need to take up some helpful video training material or reading material? Do you need to start a daily Bible reading program? If you've never done that, you certainly should. Do you need to find a prayer partner? Do you need to begin to journal? Do you need to prepare a resume and send it out? What is the top of your to-do list to see your situation change? Don't just think about it. Have a to-do list and make a start. And finally, thank goodness, I thought he'd never get there. But finally, cut off your giant's head. Cut off your giant's head. David ran and stood over Goliath. He took hold of the Philistine sword and drew it from the scabbard. Don't you love that? He used the weapon of the enemy to make the final coup de grace. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Whatever there is in your life that is keeping you under the dominion of that giant, cut it off. Sometimes we need to cut off some negative companions. You know, sometimes the reality is, and I know this can sound harsh, I'm not trying to be harsh, there's some people you cannot afford to associate with. I'm sorry, is that, well, they're my friends. Some people you cannot afford to associate with. It is not good for your life, it's not good for your future, it is not where you're going to see victory. Sometimes you need to cut them off. Certainly we need to cut off illicit relationships. If there's anything that's just plainly bad, of course they need to go. Cut off bad habits and vices, addictions. If there's alcohol abuse in your life, find a way to cut it off. Cut off dishonesty. Cut off infidelity. Cut it off. If there's a relationship in your life where You feel a bit interested in some of the opposite sex who is not your husband or your wife. Don't have anything to do with them. Cut it off. Cut it off. Don't assume, but they're friends. Cut it off. You feel something towards someone who is not your husband or your wife. Cut it off. It's a wrong relationship. Cut it off. We can't expect good fruit from God's hand if we are unprepared to cut off the dead and diseased wood. Got to cut it off. Got to cut it off. It's for our good. If we make room for God to bless, He will bless us because that's His nature. His nature is to bless. And you know, the only thing that gets in the way, sadly, and I'm speaking to me, not just to you, is us. We're the only thing that gets in the way of God's blessing. He's not waiting for us to be a better person or to be worthy of His blessing. He wants to bless, but we put obstacles in the way. So finally, are we being confronted by giants in our life today? It may be your doing. It may be partly your doing. Or it can be simply visited upon you without any fault or cause that you can see. We have those giants too. It's not, we didn't cause them, but they've come against us. Like COVID. Nobody's responsible for COVID. It's come upon us. But no matter what the cause, we can see that this thing is taking our eyes off God. It's robbing us of the joy and abundant life that there is in Christ. Is your giant shouting at you today, saying, hey, don't even bother. Set this message aside. Don't bother. Give up. Give up. Give in to whatever comes in your life. Well, who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to the enemies of God that seek to rob us and ultimately destroy us? Or God Himself? It's up to us. What do we need to gain that victory? What do we need to gain that victory? Again, let's tap into that divine source of victory. Let's tap into the Spirit of God. Let's use those weapons God's given us. Let's not just leave them lying there. Let's pick them up and let's use them. Let's stay focused on God and not firstly the problem. Don't be waylaid by distraction. Take your opportunity for victory. Seize the day. Seize the day. And cut off that giant's head. Clear the way for God to move in your life. God is for us. He is never, ever against us. He wants us, as Jesus said, to have life and to have it abundantly. Amen? Can we stand together as we close in prayer? Just as we're in prayer together, we're in a bit of a COVID season, as we said, and it's difficult to have prayer the way we might normally have it, but just as we've got our eyes closed and our heads bowed, I wonder if today you recognise, Pastor John, there's a giant in my life, and I don't have all the answers, but today I would like to take some first steps to see that giant defeated in my life. Just as God's Spirit's with us, God said, just raise your hand today. Just put a hand up nice and high, because I'd love to pray for you today. Just put your hand up nice and high. But God, today I want to take a first step. I want to begin that to-do list of what you're going to do in my life to overcome those giants. Now just keep your hands raised while I pray for you. Lord God, you see these raised hands. You see the need, you see the giants. Lord, you've heard the voices that the enemy would try to speak into these loved ones, into these dear sons and daughters of you, and say, you cannot go forward in this thing. You cannot overcome in this thing. But today, Lord, we say that is the lie of the enemy. We declare that is a lie over these lives, and we refuse it in the name of Jesus. We refuse that lie in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that you would bring strategy towards freedom. You would bring the anointing of your Spirit upon this point of challenge, upon this point of conflict upon this giant's head, that you would bring a strategy and solution. For Lord, we see in the Spirit, we see going forward, we see the path of victory. We see a way forward for this giant to be overcome, for its head to be cut off, and for it no longer to be a voice in our lives, for it no longer to be a power in our lives. We take authority over this thing in the name of Jesus. Lord, we see an opportunity for your glory to be manifest in the life of every person whose hand is raised, that they will see your glory over their life and not the foul imprint of the work of the enemy. We see this in the Spirit even now over each one of these lives. Lord, I pray for your anointing upon each one of these beloved brothers and sisters. I pray your anointing upon them to see them through to the end of this victory in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for all of us, Lord. I pray for all of us, Lord, that we would too just walk in your victory day by day. Help us to be aware of the enemy's wiles, not be trapped by him, not be seduced by him, not be in any way restricted by him from the blessing of the glory of God in our lives. Lord, you're a God who loves to bless. And Lord, we open ourselves afresh today to the blessing of our Heavenly Father. We open ourselves afresh, Lord, to your blessing today in this place. And Lord, I pray for your anointing upon this church. I pray for your anointing upon every one of our online audience today as well. Reach into their homes. Reach into their circumstance. And let them know your blessing, we pray. And we go from this place today, Lord, full of your Spirit, filled afresh with your Spirit, to see your mighty hand in our life wherever you take us this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. And for your glory, Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. God bless you. Pray you have a great week. Let's greet one another in a COVID-safe way in the name of the Lord. Amen. God bless you.